another photostat, so forgive me, but it's okay. Because I'll go very slowly and I'll say exactly what's going on. We started last week after a little bit of a tiny little introduction. We went through the seven definitions of tefillah, of the word tefillah, of what tefillah means. We basically went through the first one, which is din and mishpat, that the word tefillah means being judged. So we spoke about the first definition of tefillah. And I mentioned last week that after we go through these seven definitions, that should take us around another 2-3 weeks, maybe at most 2-3 weeks. Then we're going to begin to work on each aspect of tefillah. Maharals and Reb Sadik, a lot, mostly Maharal, working through Maharals and Gra, to really appreciate what it is that we're doing. So we're up to Beis, which I'll give you the sheet next time, sorry, and I'll just go slowly. Anyway, there's a piece from Rav Kook that I'm going to be doing with you that I just, I didn't photos that, I wasn't going to photos that because I just remembered it a few minutes ago. The second definition of tefillah, the first one, as I said, was din mishpat. We did that last week, being judged. And what that means, that was our discussion last week. And if anybody needs, we'll be making copies of these tapes, so you'll be able to catch up on what you missed. The second definition of tefillah that we see in the Rishonim, the Achronim, is that tefillah means becoming disentangled, untied. Tefillah means becoming untied, the straightening out of a human being. Now, where do we see this? So it says in the Torah, you know how it always comes out that the parasha, that this, when you're learning something, the parasha makes itself known. So it says in the Torah, Vayispal el Avram el ha'elokim, that Avram Avinu davin ta'ashem. So that's the first time that you see the use of the word vayispalel. The concept of tefillah was there from the very beginning of creation. From the very beginning. But the word vayispalel, the actual word tefillah, is found first with the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Vayispal Avraham Elokim is holy shtadlus to save the city. So it says in the Medrash Rabbah, in Breishis Rabbah, Mitchilos ha-sefer va'ad kan, that from the beginning of the Torah until here, until this place, lo nemar b'loshen hazeh, we have never seen this loshen, this word vayispalo. From the beginning of the Torah until here, we've never had this word vayispalo. Kevin shispal Avraham Avinu, from that moment that Avraham Avinu davened, hutar hakesher, which means the knot became untangled. It's a fascinating thing. That until Avraham Avinu davened, something was tangled. There was a knot. Something wasn't going well. And from the moment that Avraham Avinu used the word, I mean, from it says, Vayispalel, that's the first time that Hashem uses the word. And you know, it's a klal gadol, it's a tremendous rule in the writings of Reb Sadik especially, but by the other tzaddikim too, that the first time that a word appears in the Torah, that means that that is the father of all usages of that word, of that concept. So if we're to understand the essence of tefillah, we have to understand what this means. That when Avraham Avinu davened, the first time that we see the Torah using the word vayispalel, is by Avraham Avinu, and it means, and Chazal understand this to mean, came in Shehispala, Avraham Avinu, Hutar HaKesher. There was something that was in a knot, something that was tied, and it became untied, disentangled. It says in the Medrash Rabbah, Breishis Rabbah, Perik Nun Beis, if you have the Medrash Rabbah, you'll see, Perik Nun Beis, Parsha Nun Beis, goes by Parsha, in the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Nun Beis. Breishis. So what does this mean, that something became untied, that there was something in a knot, and the tefillah somehow means untying something that was stuck? Now, if anybody has anybody in the family whose name is Naftali, this should be especially important for you, because this is the meaning of the name Naftali. Naftule Elokim Neftalti. In the 30th parak of Bereshis, So you know that Rachel Imenu was having a problem conceiving, so she took Bilha. And the child that she bore was Naphtali. And Rachel Imenu says, it's probably one of the most difficult psukim in the entire Tanakh to teach, just to translate. Naphtule Elokim Naphtalti Imachosi. Now I'm going to give you the simple translation according to Rashi. Naftule Elokim Neftalti. In the future you'll have these in front of you, I'm sorry. Naftule Elokim Neftalti. The simple translation according to Rashi is, I have been twisted around, tied up with my sister through all of Hashem's roundabout ways. It's a tough pasuk. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. I have been twisted, turned, and tied up around with my sister through all of Hashem's roundabout ways. Gam Yacholti. But I have finally won, Rachel Imenu said. I have finally won. I have been twisted around, tied up with my sister, Leah, in all roundabout ways of Hashem, but I have won. And she named the child Naphtali. So Targum translates this Naphtule Elokim. Ba'usi ube'eschanenusi, which means, I have offered many tfilos. Ba'usi is tefillah. I have offered many tefillos to Hashem regarding my sister. Ba'uti. Ba'usi in Targum means davening. I have offered many tefillos to Hashem regarding my sister, regarding Leah. And I have been answered. So many tefillos. Ba'usi u'bischananusi would say in Hebrew would be betfilot u'betachanunim. Betfilos u'besachanunim. Tefillah is davening, and sachanunim is begging, beseeching. So I have davened a great deal regarding my sister. Now, what that means exactly regarding Le'imenu is not the subject of our discussion. That's more gracious talk. But the point here is that the word naftule, Targum sees it as a lashon of tefillah. And you see in the word naftali, the word tefillah, right? Naftali is a lashon from tefillah. So how are we to understand Rashi together with the Targum, put this all together, Naftuli Lukim Naftalti, that it means, according to Rashi, being twisted around through all of Hashem's roundabout ways and having won, together with the understanding of the Targum that Naftuli means tefillah, and according to the Svarim HaKadoshim, they are not disagreeing. Rashi and Unklus are not disagreeing. So let's understand. There's another place, by the way, in Chumash, all the way at the end of the Torah, where you see this lashon of Naphtali or Tefillah in such a way. Dor ikesh upsaltol. When Hashem is describing this as being stubborn and twisted. A generation that is stubborn and twisted. The word psaltol. Pital tol. That lashon is also lashon naftoli, naftule, tefillah. So let's understand. So you all know that Shlomo Melech said, "Velukim also es adam yashar," right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the human being naturally yashar, upright and straight, righteous. There's a natural yashrus in the human being. You're naturally yasharim. The Jewish people in particular, who are called Yisrael, is from the words yasharkel, that we are fashioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a powerful inclination of yashrus, to be straightforward, to be good. Chet, sin, means that which was straight was made crooked. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the human being in a way of yashrus, that he's a yasher, every time a person chalila does an aveira, does a sin, every chait means an entanglement. An entanglement. You know that you have that feel, well, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of doing any aveiras, but if you ever did an aveira, and you felt the pain afterwards, you felt yourself getting into some sort of a trap. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And you feel yourself entangled in some sort of a bizarre maze that you never intended of finding yourself in. Like we say in the Tefillah Zakeh before Kol Nidre, Matmim Anom HaNafshoseinu, we stand in wonderment. Eich Nesta Toeva So. We don't understand how did this happen to me? I was once Yosha. That's how I came off the press. Yosha. Straight. Chait always means confusion and entanglement. It means that you get mixed into something that you're tangled and you're confused. The tachlis of tefillah. This is why tefillah, the definition of tefillah. Now here you'll see like very often in Lashon HaKodesh, we'll talk about this many times, because we're going to be concentrating a lot on Hebrew. Many times in Lashon HaKodesh you'll have in one word, davar v'hipucho. This is throughout Tanakh, and Lashon HaKodesh is one of the most remarkable qualities of Hebrew, is that you'll find that one word means one thing and its opposite, or its cure. The problem and its cure. So, naftule elokim niftalti. I have become twisted in Hashem's roundabout ways. Being twisted in Hashem's roundabout ways, in the being caught entangled in the hashgacha of Hashem. Because when a person distorts his or her image of Yashuas, when a person loses that straightness, when a person veers off that straight path, we become caught up in the hashgacha of Hashem that we did not want to be caught up in, which is the Midas HaDin, the Midas HaMishpat, which is Hashem's judgment of this world, which functions in a way of Mida Kenegan Mida, of measure for measure. So when a person becomes, as a result of mistakes, as a result of Averis, when a person becomes entangled, so first of all, he or she becomes entangled and knotted up in that world of Avera Gorevis Avera, that one sin leads to another and so on until we can't find our way back. In addition to that, we become caught up in Hashem's roundabout ways. The roundabout ways of Hashem, as it's understood by the Rishonim, the Achronim, means Hashem's way of judging this world. Hashgacha Pratis, and Hashem, God forbid, brings upon us the Midas HaDin. And here's the tachlis of tefillah. The tachlis of tefillah is to become untied, to restore one's yashus, to become untied. Through davening, a person becomes free and untangled. That's what davening is, to become free and untangled. So the pasuk of Naftuli Elokim Naftalti, that I've been twisted around with my sister, that the lashon of Naftalti, of tefillah, means being turned and twisted around. And the Targum translates it as tefillah, with my tefillos, I have been able to succeed. So we put it all together, it means that with my tefillos, I have been able to succeed in becoming untwisted, untangled. I've found a way out of my confusion. I'm no longer lost. No matter what happened to a person during the day, as long as the person comes back to tefillah, the person can bring back a sense of yashus and standing in the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, this is particularly the work of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the first time in the Torah we see the word tefillah is by Avraham Avinu, by Yispalel. Remember that we were taught by all the Sfarim, the Ramchal, and the Gra, by everybody, that Avraham Avinu is the beginning of the Tikkun, right? It's the beginning of the Tikkun. Avraham Avinu is the beginning of the rectification. He begins the work of fixing the world. He's the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah, leading up to Kabbalah's Torah, that would then usher in the period of the 2,000 years of Mashiach. Until Avraham Avinu was what? Was Tohu. Was confusion. So Avraham Avinu enters into a world of confusion. despite Noach and Noach's courageous attempt to straighten things out. As you know, that Noach didn't straighten the world out. That was a problem. Noach barely was able to straighten himself out with great difficulty and to survive. But as far as straightening the world out, bringing the world back to its yashrus, that was the beginning of the work of Avraham Avinu. Therefore, the Avos are called, as you know, the Yisharim, the one who was straight, who were upright. And the whole Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar. It's called that Navin, Sefer Yeshua. It's the book of those who are upright. So therefore, we see that the Navi says about Avraham Avinu, Echad Hoya Avraham. Echad Hoya Avraham. Avraham was one. The Navi uses this also, the Navi Yeshua uses this as far as Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. Ki Echad Kirosiv. That Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu are one. They're the only people in Tanakh that are referred to in such a way. With Yaakov Avinu, we know the Pasuk says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was left alone. There's a certain midah of aloneness. That we'll talk about mitzvah another time. That's also part of davening, being alone. That's also part of davening. But to have a person described as Echad, we usually say that for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Echad Hayah Avram. Avram Avinu was one. So what is the meaning of the oneness of Avraham Avinu? You want to say he was a great tzaddik, you want to say he was unusual, he was unique. What's the Echad Hayah Avraham? And remember that in Navi this goes together with Sarah Imenu also. That the two of them are called one. That's why the Gemara in Bavar Basra tells us that when one of the Amoraim was going to measure the Maros HaMachpelah, the Maros HaMachpelah in Chevron, this is a fascinating Gemara, that one of the Amoraim was going to measure because he had to know where Kohanim were allowed to go, right? So he went to measure the Maros HaMachpelah. So it says in the Gemara that Eliezer, Eved Avram, was sitting outside the Ma'ara. That Eliezer was sitting outside the cave. Not everybody can get in. I mean, if you would go to Maros HaMachpelah, you see Eliezer, it would be a very scary thing. And they were talking about in the time of the Gemara, is obviously thousands of years after the time of Avram Avinu, but this Tani sees Eliezer Eved Avram, the servant of Avram, sitting there, and he didn't want to let him in. So he went inside. He went inside to ask permission, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "He's all right. You can let him in." So he went into the cave. It's a whole long Gemara, but he went into the cave and he saw that Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu were intertwined. We're holding each other. In that world where all is clear and all is true, that oneness of who they were was revealed. And he wanted then to go in to measure the inner cave of Adam and Chava. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, that you saw the reconstruction of my image, but my image itself you're not allowed to see. Ad kan." And Hashem said, "The measurement of the inner cave is the same as the outer cave. You don't have to measure it. I'll tell you the cheshbon." But the point is that when he went into the cave, he saw the oneness of Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu in their embrace. That which we don't understand in this world, that total oneness. So on a human being, we see that only with Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, there is this oneness. In this world, in the next world, Echad Hayah Avraham. So it says in Shir Shirim Rabbah, in the first parasha of Shir, in the beginning of Shir Shirim Rabbah, it says, Echad Hayah Avraham, V'icha es kol ba'ei olam lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, V'icha? He brought back all the people of the world to Hashem. Ba'kapar Omer, ke'odam shuhu ma'ache ha'kera. Like a person who was sewing something that was torn. Like a person sewing something that was torn. So Avraham Avinu was the great fixer of the world. He was the one that began to mend the world. So Avraham Avinu is called Echad, because he's the one that is restoring the oneness to the world. He's bringing the world back to a certain one direction, to that clarity, that until that, what was going on? Remember, we spoke about this last week, that the essential kavana of tefillah is not to understand what you're saying. That's wonderful if you do. But remember, what's the essential kavana? the essential intention that one must have when davening, that you're standing in His presence. Nochach Hashem. That's the essence. Nochach Hashem, you're standing in His presence. What does the entanglement of Naftuli Elokim mean? It means that somehow, in those earlier generations, this sense of being in Hashem's presence was lost. You know that the Rambam describes this at great length in the laws of Avodah Zarah. How did Avodah Zarah begin? The whole thing is wondrous. How did Avodah Zarah begin? How could there be Avodah Zarah? These are people. You think they were small people? They were Nevi'im. The earlier generations were Nevi'im. Even after the Chait, Cain, Shem, they were all Nevi'im. These were all great people. These were all prophets. How did Avodah Zarah begin? So the Rambam describes what happened to the generation of Enosh, that initially what was happening is that the problem was not that they began to lose faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the problem. That's usually not the problem even nowadays. That's not usually why people stop davening, is they begin to lose faith in themselves, which means that they don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could possibly care about what they're saying. And you begin to lose your cheshik for davening, like we saw last week from Rabbi Nachman. You begin to lose your cheshik, you become lazy. And what happened was that the world began to construct intermediaries. And we know that meant that in those days, that people began to think, look, who are we that we should address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the universe? Instead, let us address the sun and the stars and the moon, because they are servants of Hashem. So they began to serve the ministers. The Rambam describes this, what happened and how the world fell into Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah always means one thing. It doesn't mean a lack of faith. Halavai, we should have the faith of the early idol worshippers. They used to sacrifice the children because they were Avodah Zarah. We think that they were small people. They weren't, like we think of them, these people, like they're a bunch of cannibals running around totem poles. It's not true. That's not true. They were philosophers of religion. And they believed deeply in spirituality, but they were afraid to go all the way to that last point of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they were seeking spirituality. Therefore, they were prepared to give up anything for what they believed in. It's not a small madrega. But what does Avodah Zarah mean? Placing an obstruction between yourself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it means. You're hiding from His presence. You could be hiding behind a statue. You could be hiding behind a getchka. You could be hiding behind whatever you're hiding behind. You're hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is seeking some sort of an intermediary, or something between him or her and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the beginning of Avodah Zarah. So that's the entanglement that the world was in before Avraham Avinu. That the world was ashamed and had turned its face away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world had turned away from Hashem Yisbarach. That's what was happening. When the Navi comes and says, Echad Haya Avram, Avram is called the Yashar, the straight one. It means that Avram Avinu was going to grab hold of the face of the world and turn it back towards Hashem. That's what he did. That's the Yashus of Avram Avinu, to set things back in order. The first one who is a Mespalel, the first Mespalel in Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the underlying quality of tefillah as untying a knot, of untying a confusion, of disentangling a world from that obstructed, mistaken Avodah Zarah that it had fallen into. And Avraham Avinu, therefore, is described as the one who is Ma'acha Hakera, who begins to sew the world that was torn, he begins to sew it back together. That's the work of Avraham Avinu, to sew the world back together. Therefore, Avraham Avinu is the one who would bring Yitzchak up for the Akedah and would say, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, that Hashem is seen upon the mountain. We see Hashem and He is seen. Avraham Avinu connects to Yerushalayim. Since Yerushalayim is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was seen, the whole world, when a person leaves Yerushalayim in a certain way, they're running away from Hashem's presence. Yerushalayim is the place where the Shekhinah is most profoundly felt and experienced. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, who unties the world and who turns the face of the world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu is the one who brings his child up for the Akedah on the mountain upon which Hashem is seen. Because that's what he was doing to the world. He was causing Hashem to be seen. That's the Lashon of Tefillah, which is to straighten something or to untie it. So that's the second definition of tefillah. The third definition, all of these are connected. The third definition of tefillah is that tefillah means ribui heftzer v'sachanunim, which means continuous, ongoing beseeching and begging. That's the word in Hebrew tefillah means, ribui heftzer v'tachanunim, an abundance of begging and beseeching. And we see this from the very same place, the very same pasuk, when Rachel Imenu says, "V'tomer Rachel naftuli elokim neftalti machosig hamichalti," which I told you, the Targum understands it to mean, "I have offered many tefillos to Hashem regarding my sister, and I have been answered." V'tikrashmo naftali. So Rashi, after he says the simple pshat that we did, before, that's a lashon of confusion and being tangled, Rashi then says, "Nisakashti v'hiftsarti pitziros harbe." What does it mean, "Nisakashti"? I was in action. Stubborn. I was stubborn. And we'll have to understand this much more later on in our talks about tefillah, because Rabbi Nachman used to say not to be in action. On the other hand, he said you have to always, for every little thing, you have to beg and to cry and to ask. And we have to understand to what degree is a person allowed to be stubborn. So I had, there was once a couple that came to talk to me about they were married for some years and they hadn't had a child. So the feelings of the husband was that we're married for some years, we went already to doctors, we went to rabbis, and it seems that this is the hashgacha, maybe Hashem wants it, that this is what we should, this is our chelik in the world, so why should we be upset, and why should we keep on making hishtadlus? This is our chelik in the world. And he had a machlokas with his wife, because his wife said, absolutely not. You know, we have to keep on working at this. We have to daven, we have to speak to tzaddikim, we have to work on it. So I said to the husband, can you imagine, what if Rachel Imenu, what if the Imos would have had like your approach? What if Chana? We wouldn't have had a Shmuel Anavi. You know, if Chana would have said, no, it was Geidnish. You know, there's a great man said that the whole Indian of Chana, you know, with her, Chana with Pnina, what happened there was, you remember when Elkanah said that you're better for me than 10 children, right? I'm better for you than 10 children. In other words, what he's saying is, look, I have Pnina for children, but what we have together, that's a special relationship, right? So Dafke, at that point in her life, we see that all of a sudden she goes alone, and she goes crazy with davening. That's the whole thing that happened with Eli, right? She's davening in Shiloh. She's davening, and from that came Shmuel Hanavi, who was going to be the one to anoint David Malka Mashiach. So one of the tzaddikim said that, why did she all of a sudden, what were all the years until now? What's all of a sudden this great, like, this tefillah campaign? What was with her davening before? What happened? That all of a sudden she goes off and she's like by herself and she throws her kaychus into davening. What happened? So he said that when she heard Elkanah say that, she thought all along, look, she's married to the Gadol Hador. He was the greatest Jew of the generation. So she understood that all those nights when he's in the Beis Medrash and he's up late, that not only is he learning, but he's crying and begging for a child with her. That's what she understood. Now it was revealed to her that no, the children I have, Baruch Hashem, that's Pnina. So then she said, oy vey, I'm all alone. There's no one in the world that's davening. Although she was davening all those years, but you know how it is to daven when you know that you're sharing the tefillah with somebody, which is why the same tzaddik said the whole inyan of davening together, men and women, a husband and wife sitting together by tefillah, even if we disregard the lack of tznius in it, that it's immodest, let's forget the immodesty for a moment. He says, to daven next to someone who you rely upon is the antithesis of tefillah. Tefillah means you are alone in his presence, and it means you have to feel, even if you're with a million people, that there's no one else in the universe that can bring this Yeshua about except you with your tefillos. So when Chana realized that Elkanah hasn't been davening, then she sort of like says, you know, and she runs and she brings a tefillah to the world that brought down the soul of Shmuel HaNavi. That brought down the soul of Shmuel HaNavi. And the way the Gemara describes how she spoke, Takash Baruch Hu, I mean, if you know this, the Gemara says that she's, her has his ponim, I mean, the way she spoke, Takash Baruch Hu, she metiach dvorim klapei marla, I mean, she spoke with chutzpah, she made threats. It was a different kind of tefillah, it was with an akshonis. Because when the realization is that it all depends upon my tefillah, then the natural response will be, I can't give up. I have to continue. So it says, so Rashi says, Nisakashti v'hefzarti b'tziros harbe. V'naftutim lamokum. I have been stubborn and offered many prayers. Takadosh Baruch Hu. So we understand that Teva itself, nature itself, is naftuli elokim. You know that Elokim always means nature, right? It's the Gematria. Teva is the Gematria Elokim. Hateva. Teva is the Gematria Elokim. Nature. And we know that Teva is from the word Toveya, which means to drown. The greatest entanglement of a person is not necessarily in Tsaris. It's just taking the Hashgach, it's taking the Baruch Shalom for granted. We're Toveya in Teva. We become submerged, we drown in Teva. So what we learn from Rachel Imenu, from her akshonis and her naftulim, her tefilos, which Rashi says, like the Targum means her begging and beseeching continuously, is that in order for a person to escape that mareches ha-teva, in other words, in order to break through that barrier of Teva, that veil, that disguise of Teva, it's not just with a Maidani. You have to begin with a Maidani, but you have to work at it. It's with Akshonis, and it has to be Tefillah, really, B'sachanunim. You have to pour your heart out. Tefillah means, the definition of Tefillah is begging. Not praying. The definition of Tefillah is begging, is beseeching, is Akshonis, Rashi says. Dor ikesh upsalto. Akshonis, a generation that is an action, to be an action. The greatest example of Akshonis in Tefillah, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu simply doesn't let go of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu simply doesn't let go of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is described in Chazal in such a way that he mamish doesn't let go. He holds on. After the Chet HaEgel, right? After the sin of the golden calf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anichali, leave me alone. I'm going to destroy them. So the tefillah is only a tiny little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu's crying and begging is recorded in the Torah that we see in front of us. There's much more that's in Chazal, and infinitely more that's not written anywhere of what Moshe Rabbeinu did with his tefillah and how he accomplished it. So we have one amazing word, Vayichal Moshe es Pnei Hashem. The word Vayichal. Vayichal Moshe. Moshe sought or beseeched the face of God. Vayichal, we said on every fast day, right? On every Tanis we say, Vayichal Moshe es Pnei Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. Vayichal means he davened. Ches. So the Gemara in the fifth parak of Brachos, the same Gemara that it has about Chana, has different interpretations for the word Vayichal. It's Kedai, if you have a chance to see that it's the Ein Yaakov, it's at the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos. Just the Agarata. The most fascinating definition of the word Vayichal
If it wouldn't be written in the Gemara, we wouldn't say it. We wouldn't be allowed to speak in such a way. It says, Amr Vaychal Moshe Amr Belazer Malamich Hispala Moshe Ad She Hachleihu LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Moshe Ben Adavin until he made Hashem sick. Until he made Kadosh Baruch Hu sick. He davened until he made Kadosh Baruch Hu sick. Until Hashem couldn't take it anymore. Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't take it. Until he made him sick. He says, all right, good. Beseder. He made him sick. He made him a sugar. We wouldn't be allowed to say it. Ad She Hachleihu LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why there's a different gears in the Gemara. One gears in the Gemara is Ad Shehuchla, until Moshe Rabbeinu became sick. The oldest gears says until he made Hashem sick. But you hear why the gears would be tampered with over here, right? Why the? It's not so simple to put in the Gemara such a thing. Ad Shehuchla, LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just listen to Rav Kook. This is good for today. This is good for today. Today wasn't such a... Today was a pretty dark day. So it's good for today. Rav Kook writes in his parish on the Gemara. What does that mean? Achach leil kadosh baruch until the God Hashem is baruch sik. Hamatzav hatov hamaskim al klal hametzias uhabriyus. What does it mean? When things are functioning in the right way, that's called health. When something is functioning the way that it's supposed to function, we call that briyut. That's health. Omnam kishayetze prat echad, kishayotze prat echad mihaskemosel el haklal beguf, nifra hasedev nasa choli. Sickness means that there's a part of the body that goes out of its natural order. And it can cause an illness, God forbid death, right? But it's not functioning in the way which is bari, which is healthy. Shleimus ha-hanhoga hal-yonihi l'shach l'lis ha-metzius. The healthy way that Hashem runs the world, the healthy way that Hashem runs the world is when the world is perfected and brought to perfection and goodness. It's the tachlis, right? That the world should be good and the world should be perfected. Vim yishachis am. Ad shelo tiyem imenu tikva nishkefes l'toiva. Ya'ovru batal v'sachtav yokum am mesukan u'meshuchla l'karva l'shleimus enoshi. So Rav Kook says that if there is one nation, one people, or really even one person, who is bringing about a distortion, who is bringing about something unhealthy in the world, Hashem wants the world to be good, and there's somebody or a nation in the world that is not good. In other words, there's a limb of the body that has become sick, and so sick until it's endangering the entire body. Then what has to be is that it has to be removed. Al pi seichel, it has to be removed. It's disturbing the Seder. Vini Yisrael ovdu achonu l'malosom, imitzad anhog el yoyin haroitze betoiv, hayaroish yavo Yisrael atachlisam, layodam kolam etziyas, leibe amtsos, hasibus aroz, hagolius v'hatzoriz. So Rav Kook says that when the Jewish people sinned with the Egel, that was the first collective sin of Klai Yisrael, the first collective sin of our people. We became, something terrible happened, there was a terrible sickness, because the Jewish people were meant to bring the world to absolute perfection. We were the ones that were going to be the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will to perfect the world, and instead, we fell into this horrible situation. And then after that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that there are going to have to be Golios, exiles, and tzaras, and problems. Kshetumam bo aleinu litzarev sigenu, that all these horrible things have fallen upon us to purify us. V'kasher an hagel yonah rotze betovah seyitzurim hayaroi l'chalos azam u'shchosim l'hoitziyam shi'evol l'tachlisa b'lei rogaz u'mitzari shal naroim. What Hashem Yisbaruch could have done, what would have been more logical to do, is that if the Jewish people have blown it, it didn't work out, it's a limb that is sick, it has to be removed to restore the Seder. That's what should have happened. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu was threatening to do, right? This is the way you do it. This is begeitnis. That's the end. Instead of having pain and suffering and misery of a world that has in it a limb that is dysfunctional, you get rid of it. Zos Heisel if Yishleimus or Brias Hanhaga. This would have been the healthy way for Hashem to take care of the world after the Chet Egel, to get rid of the dysfunctional limb. Especially since it's such an important limb. Especially because the Kuzri calls the Jewish people the heart of the world, right? Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Olashon Nesamach B'tfilah Shlo Yimach Shem Yisrael Migoy, but Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that the Jewish people should not be amputated. Vav Shenoflu Habi Mimalosam Ad Shekedei Lagil Tarosam Hanu Edis Lahem Svichim Hem Kais L'Derach Harucha V'Chashecha, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that now, because of what has happened, for them to come to their Tachlis and for them to bring the world to the Tachlis, it's going to be a long and torturous path. Malayat Sarah filled with sorrows, V'yog and Shalgolias in the anguish of exile, and Sarah's rose and morals and great bitterness. V'chol Elohim ke'erach chaloim beguf l'uma shleimus anhoge. All of this, which means the suffering of the Jewish people in Golis, is Hashem's illness. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu can run the world that it should have been smooth and perfect without having to have a people to patch and to bring the Dafka, the Jewish people, have to be brought to perfection through all the tzaros of Golis, to be purified of the mistake and to be cleansed of all our avarice. So he could have, Chalila, he could have torn off that limb and brought another nation and started a new people for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? A new people. That's what he offered Moshe Rabbeinu. But Hashem said no. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and Hashem said, instead of running the world in a healthy way, I will run the world in a way that is sick. I'll be sick. Which means my hanhaga, not Hashem's v'chas v'shalom, but the way that I run the world will now appear to be sick. Which means, what's the sickness of the world? That the people whom he loves most, the nation that is chosen, the one who has to bring the world to its tachlis, is the one that suffers the most horrible pain. You know what it says, that Kosh Baruch Hu, when a Jew suffers, Kalani Miroshi Hashem says, my head is hurting, my arm is hurting. Right? My head is hurting, my arm is hurting. That's Moshe Ben Estfila. Hanhogashi Misna Elis Lahotzi Lor Chaim Amim Anahenim Mechayem Yoshim Benu Chalad Mosam. If there is a people that they're not able to live up to Hashem's expectations and they can't bring the world to its tachlis, then they should have been done away with. That Hashem has now become the doctor, the nurse of the Jewish people, of a people who have disappointed him, of a people who have ruined themselves. That the whole world stands in absolute amazement and shock and horror at what Hashem's people have gone through. So Rav Kook says, Zehu nikra b'yachas anhaga misyaches l'kash baruch hu b'shem choli. This is called the sickness of God. It means that in comparison to the way that Hashem could have run the world, which would have been simple with somebody else, Hashem complied with the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu and agreed to live in this world as a God who is sick, kivyachol, where the whole world screams, Ayei Elokeichem, where is your God? Right? Where is God? How come he's powerless? What's the matter with him? Ubizman shodim etztayr shechinim aloshon ameros kalani miroshi kalani mizro. Yale. What? Because Hashem, the way that Hashem runs the world now, sickness here means distortion. So the way that Hashem runs the world now is no longer with a simple hanhaga of having his main representative on earth leading the world gradually, but straight, in a straight path towards perfection. Instead, there are all these bizarre things of the Jewish people in Golis, which is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Choli, of Kook says, Biyachas in comparison to the way that Hashem is Baruch could have run the world, which would have been a healthy way, removing the diseased limb. Yeah. Yes. Not Hashem's. There's no such thing, God forbid. It means Hashem's hanhaga now. The way that Hashem runs the world is now in a way that raises many, many questions. Like the one that was raised today is, why is it that innocent people are killed? And especially Jews always get the patch. That's right. Because the word, but Moshe Rabbeinu davened to stick with us, even though this has happened. And now Kach Baruch Hu says, I will, even though I now appear to be limping through history. Because now the world doesn't understand. This is their God. They're the chosen people. What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that? You want, yeah? Iris.
But they had a lot of pressure and problems before Chedah Eidah that made people
not as a nation. They really just became. Kabbalah Satori, they really became Am Yisrael, right? Mitzrayim was to make them into a people. Was to make them into a people. But the Anhog of Klai Yisrael begins now with Kabbalah Satori. Yeah.
Why did Hashem agree? Like, why did he listen to Moshe's Tefillah? It would have been maybe better to run the world than
not. I suppose that the answer to that comes from the place of Ratzon Hashem, of Hashem's love for us, that we can't answer that. I'd rather have a child. I'd rather have this child, even though this child is crippled, than to replace the child. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. I guess that's what it is. I'm sorry, I think we'll have to stop. I have the cherubim. I know, we'll have to...